Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Tonight, we're starting out on episode 51, TheRollingStone.com. What's going on here? Weed dispensaries destroyed and looted in late night unrest face uncertain future. Written by Mary Jane Gibson. Cannabis dispensaries across the country have been ransacked by possible looters, though many say the thievery seems more organized. Stores are boarded up. Store owners and volunteers cleared up the front of their stores that were looted by some demonstrators against police brutality tied to the death of George Floyd in Fairfax Melrose area in Los Angeles, California. The Sweet Flower dispensary suffered property damage and was robbed following unrest in the city. Cannabis shops that were broken into during the last weekend of May in the wave of civil unrest following the brutal killing of George Floyd are reeling from the financial toll. Though several have said they supported the protests, the burglaries, looting perpetrated by a number of individuals has left some business owners worried about whether their operations can survive. Dispensaries were hit hard. Leafly reports that 43 businesses in California and Oregon were ransacked. Austin's Pure Oasis, the first minority adult use dispensary on the East Coast, reportedly lost $100,000. Chicago's Mission Dispensary South Shore was mostly destroyed, the company president wrote on Facebook. Several Los Angeles dispensaries were vandalized during the demonstrations. Videos on social media show people climbing over security gates to break into Cookies Melrose, a popular pot shop in the Los Angeles, co-owned by rapper and weed entrepreneur Brenner. Cypher Hills Be Real reported a robbery at his San Francisco dispensary, Dr. Green Thumbs, and called for a peaceful protest on Twitter, saying that rioting, looting, and burning down businesses during a pandemic isn't going to make the change needed. The national cannabis dispensary chain MedMen closed down all of its locations after several of its Los Angeles stores were cleaned out. A lack of access to traditional banking services makes cannabis stores especially vulnerable to looting and robbery, says Morgan Fox of the National Cannabis Industry Association, NCIA. Most financial institutions, including Visa and MasterCard, will not work with the cannabis industry, fearing federal prosecution, so dispensaries are forced to operate largely using cash. It appears that criminals are exploiting this well-known fact. Online searchable databases listing the names and locations of cannabis companies may also have played a part in the alleged robberies. The Bureau of Cannabis Control, BCC, and the California Department of Food and Agriculture, CDFA, disabled the licensing databases from their websites at the urging of industry members who had been robbed during protests. With the law enforcement focused on the ongoing protests, Oakland dispensary owner Debbie Goldsby says the thieves used the demonstrations as a distraction. To be clear, not protesters or looters, these armed criminals, she wrote on Facebook after her shop, Mongolia Wellness, was robbed twice. And she tells Rolling Stone, I was blindsided. Mongolia Wellness was already struggling with a sharp decline in sales due to the coronavirus pandemic. Robbers took and trashed everything in the building, including cannabis, computers, security system equipment, and employee paychecks. Goldsberry says she's still waiting to find out if insurance will cover any losses. Magnolia Wellness also serves as an incubator for social equity licensees who have been disproportionately impacted by the criminalization of cannabis, providing support and free space to entrepreneurs like first-generation urban Native American Ron Leggett. A former executive director of Oakland Food Pantry, Leggett was set to launch his cannabis company, cheated on June 8th. He lost everything in the Magnolia robberies. They didn't just steal, they destroyed everything. It looked like a hurricane went through the building. Photos of the scene show bullets lodged in a wall and electronic equipment. Leggett was informed by his insurance company that his policy doesn't cover damages caused by civil unrest. He estimates a total loss of $20,000. He says, it's so devastating to me, my business. I haven't cried in probably 10 years. On Sunday, I cried. Goldberry has set up a GoFundMe for Leggett to help him rebuild. Despite the destruction, people in the cannabis community remain supportive of the peaceful protests against police brutality. Berner released a statement after the sacking of Cookies Melrose to claim, I can't expect anything unless until justice is served. We can rebuild our store, but you can't bring someone back to life. San Francisco Dispensary Spark also released a statement in solidarity with protesters after several of its stores were robbed. Quote, Spark fully supports the public's right to freedom of speech and respects the right to protest in response to the murder of George Floyd. Sweetflower founder and CEO Tim Dodd addressed the looting of its Melrose Avenue store, telling Rolling Stone, we understand the anger behind this incident. Sweetflower stands together with the black and brown communities that have fallen victim to the prejudicial and racial violence at the hands of the police. The store has since been repaired and is open again for business. Goldsberry says there's been an outpouring of community support for Magnolia Wellness and Chiefing since the robberies. Quote, it's been really heartwarming. People let us know they'd help with the cleanup. Manufacturers and distributors offering to donate product so we can start up with enough supply to get the company going. She hopes to reopen the dispensary sometime this month. We really have to assess the capacity of the Oakland Police Department to respond to things like armed robbery, and we're not opening until they can. On Smoke News Radio from ganjapreneur.com, written by Graham Abbott, Bay Area officials warn cannabis industry to brace for robberies just a few days ago. The San Francisco Office of Cannabis delivered an email this week to dispensaries and other cannabis licensees in the city warning about a high potential for robberies and other criminal attacks during planned protests for the 4th of July weekend. Quoted, dear cannabis permit holders, it has been brought to the attention of the SF Office of Cannabis that several protests are scheduled for the July 4th weekend. Please be aware that past protests had caused a strain on police resources, which is why it is important to take necessary precautions. Expert of email delivered to cannabis licensees by San Francisco's OOC, Office of Cannabis something or other, Marijuana Business Daily reported that similar warnings were issued to cannabis businesses in cities near San Francisco, including Oakland. The warning harkens back to the Black Lives Matter protests during the international uproar over the police killing of George Floyd in May. These protests were marred by a series of robberies against cannabis dispensaries in Los Angeles and the San Francisco Bay Area. Many dispensary owners at the time believed the robberies were carried out by opportunistic criminals who were taking advantage of a police force distracted by monitoring the protests, not so-called looters or the protesters themselves. In the email, officials suggested that cannabis licensees move cash, cannabis products, to a different location for the weekend, reinforce the business premises, including boarding up windows and building entrances, consider additional deterrence measures, ensure proper video recording that is archived both on and off-site, preserve evidence from a potential crime for police, and avoid confrontation with potential intruders, calling 911 if necessary. All right, next from thelaw.com, written by Benjamin D. Tiefsky, potential insurance coverage for looted cannabis dispensaries in California and beyond. So that expert opinion, despite the historic difficulties faced by legal cannabis businesses in obtaining insurance due to, among other factors, the reticence of insurers to underwrite the risk and the industry's lack of access to credit and other financial institutions, the situation has improved in recent years. During the widespread unrest in the wake of the killing of George Floyd, looters appear to have specifically targeted cannabis dispensaries for theft and vandalism. It has been reported that 43 businesses in California and Oregon were essentially destroyed, as well as dispensaries in Boston and Chicago that had only recently opened. The Bay Area was particularly hard hit, with industry sources reporting that nearly every pot retailer in Oakland was targeted, along with most dispensaries in San Francisco and Berkeley. Many of these businesses were already suffering from the economic impact of COVID-19 pandemic and may not have qualified for federal aid due to the federal illegality of marijuana, and they may now be teetering on the edge of financial ruin as a result of the recent wave of property damage, theft of inventory and cash, and further business interruption. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Your host, Jason Brodsky. Next, we've got from TheEnquirer.com, written by Sam Wood, Philly marijuana dispensaries that got looted say state rules are making it harder to reopen. Medical marijuana in Philadelphia are rushing to repair damage caused by looters so they can reopen quickly and serve patients. But some owners say the state's Department of Health, which regulates the industry, is throwing up roadblocks as they try to enhance security measures at their dispensaries to prevent any further targeted attacks. Seven city Kansas dispensaries incurred serious damage during protests over the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis officer, were accompanied by a weekend of looting. Collectively, dispensary owners estimate they suffered hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. At least three of them will take weeks to reopen. Verilife in Manayunk, Bionello in Center City, and Herbology in South Philadelphia. In two of the cases, looters were able to breach the vault where dispensaries hold marijuana. Thieves stole $25,000 worth of cannabis products from the Vera Life dispensary and wrecked the interior of the store. A small amount of cannabis was stolen from Beyond Hello at 12th and Sansom Streets, but looters found $900 in cash and caused more than $100,000 of random damage to the facility. Store owners said they want to ensure that this can't happen again. However, putting in stronger doors and vaults with more reinforcements may be held up by state regulators. Business news analysis sent straight to your inbox every Tuesday morning. One dispensary executive who spoke on condition of anonymity because he feared reprisal from regulators said all repairs must be done to the original specification of materials used when the shops were first approved. Bolstering security will require, quote, formal modification request, a $250 fee, and a 30-day review period to approve. The executive said, quote, they're not making it easy. It's nuts. It has to be back to exactly the way it was or undergo a review period. A spokesman for the Department of Health acknowledged the cumbersome process, but said staff would try to speed up inspections. Quote, the reopening of operational sites is a top priority. When the facility is prepared for our review, it is given immediate attention. The Ethos dispensary on Locust Street was approved to reopen Monday after boarding up its windows and sweeping up broken glass left by two waves of looters. Liberty Dispensary in Northeast Philadelphia, where neighbors alerted police at the first hint of trouble, repaired broken windows and was operating as normal this week. An armed security guard patrols behind Keystone Shops sit in South Philadelphia. Only the Keystone Shops dispensary in South Philadelphia avoided a break-in attempt. Owner Mark Batty had posted armed men outside the Packer Avenue store, a former bank branch. Guards were also dispatched to the Terra Vida dispensary in the suburbs. Quote, we had several groups scoping us out over the weekend. Quote, when we saw our multiple armed guards, they walked away. Up until Saturday, I believe there have been zero break-ins of dispensaries in the entire state. It was a bad week. Another of Batty's stores in the King of Prussia was temporarily closed when ferocious winds blew off its roof 2 days after the unrest. Security guards are now stationed at Herbology and East Passaic Avenue in Verilife. Quote, it was violent and it was targeted. I reviewed the security video. I felt very personal, said Ellen Kaminsky, general manager of Herbology, where thieves destroyed windows, doors, the building's facade, and the security system. Quote, we spend more time here than we do at home. It's frightening and scary, but we're going to come back in no time. Patients may need to travel outside the city to find a dispensary to accommodate them, as medical marijuana can't legally be sent through the mail, unlike traditional pharmaceuticals. Quote, other than going out of town or trying to find a caregiver, I don't know how they can do, says Luke Schultz, a consumer advocate of the state's Medical Marijuana Advisory Board. They're kind of stuck until the damage can be repaired. It could take weeks or months to return to normal. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Your host, Jason Brodsky. Next, from loudcloudhealth.com, written by Hermine Nadra. It's a little magic here. The future of looted cannabis dispensaries is up in the air. The BLM Human Rights Movement, campaigning over the systematic racism and violence towards the black community, has sparked protests, riots, and even looting of popular stores. The first recreational cannabis shop in Boston, Pure Oasis, was also targeted by thieves during these city riots. However, since then, other weed dispensaries across America have been ransacked by violent looters. According to some, the thievery was organized. The cannabis stores that were robbed amid the city riots following the murder of George Floyd are currently having severe financial issues. In fact, several businesses are unsure of their future. According to a report, 43 businesses located in Oregon and California were looted. As many might already know, Pure Oasis in Boston claims to have lost a whopping $100,000. Furthermore, Mission Dispensary South Shore in Chicago was mostly destroyed, as the company's president claims on social media. Unfortunately, the list of looted cannabis dispensaries does not stop there. A couple of dispensaries in the Los Angeles area were wrecked during the city riots. In fact, videos have surfaced showing people violently breaking into a cannabis shop in Los Angeles. Cookies Melrose, Dr. Green Thumbs, the San Francisco weed dispensary owned by Cypress Hills Be Real, reported looting as well. According to the National Cannabis Industry Association, cannabis stores are at a higher risk of robbery and looting due to the lack of access to standard banking services. In fact, the majority of financial institutions, such as MasterCard and Visa, are not able to work with the weed industry. Currently, cannabis dispensaries are struggling, unfortunately. Hermina believes that every day is a chance to learn something new about the obscure world around us. Driving force behind Orion is her passion. Oh, very beautiful. Okay. You know, there's people, who's really got news out there? Are there people really chasing down these articles? There's only so many people chasing down these articles. And they just get rewritten and rebroadcast, rehashed. But let's keep it going. Next on Smoke News Radio from Chicago Sun-Times.com, written by Tom Schruba. After being targeted by looters, two Chicago pot shops won't open for weeks. Over a week after a series of break-ins at Chicago pot shops temporarily halted sales of legal cannabis across the city, two dispensary operators confirmed Tuesday that efforts to make repairs and bolster security will likely keep their doors closed for weeks. The Herbal Care Center on the Near West Side and the Mission Dispensary in South Chicago were both ransacked on May 31st. A day after a protest in the loop over the officer involved killing a George Floyd led to rioting and widespread looting. While the Herbal Care Center may reopen in as little as 2 weeks, Mission could be shuttering up for 2 months. Meanwhile, NewMed in Westtown also remained closed due to the ongoing protests in the area, according to a phone recording. Chris Crane, Mission's president, reported earlier this month that dozens of police broke into his store that night and stole his entire stash of highly regulated cannabis products. Everything of value was taken, and the store was mostly destroyed, Crane wrote in a Facebook post. On Tuesday, Crane told the Chicago Sun-Times that the store's security infrastructure is being strengthened after glass advertised as bulletproof failed to withstand blows from a baseball bat and crowbar. It will likely take 3 to 8 weeks to get back up and running. You gotta get through contractors, you gotta get source materials, you gotta pull building permits, you gotta get through insurance, you gotta get your coverage for stuff that's being replaced. We gotta restock inventory, says the Herbal Care Center staff is also in the process of re-securing the shop after groups of looters broke into the store twice in just over 19 hours. We are currently developing our reopening plans, but hope to continue serving our medicinal patients and customers sometime within the next 2 or 3 weeks, said Michael Madera, the store's general manager. About 1:40 a.m. May 31st, officers responding to a call of burglary saw the shop's glass doors had been shattered and learned from a manager that cash registers and other items were stolen, police said. About 10 people were seen on surveillance footage entering the dispensary after two of them smashed the glass with sledgehammers. Just after 9 p.m., the citywide curfew took hold. More officers responded to a call of looting at the dispensary and saw a mob of people leaving, police said. Tom Taber of Glenview was driving when he saw several cars, about 40 to 50 people, in a standoff with security guards who eventually fled inside. The area was super tense before the break-in. At one point, I heard a group of individuals shouting at security, saying, "Yeah, we got guns too, we got guns too, you ever been shot?" The looters were eventually able to pry open the garage door, police said, knowing that the group unsuccessfully tried to break into the vault and steal an ATM. However, Taber said he saw the looters take some items from inside. Dispensary 33 in Uptown and Crisco Labs near Sunnyside Dispensary in River North were also targeted in the chaotic aftermath of the demonstration on May 5th, but nothing was reported stolen. These shops and the city's 7 other dispensaries in Chicago have already reopened, though some are only serving medical cannabis patients. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Next, we have from securityinfowatch.com. I read this one. Good. We keep it rolling. Okay, next we have from Forbes.com, written by Chris Roberts. Legal cannabis businesses are preparing to get robbed again. Nah, nice. Oh, wait, I'm at the half mark. Let me smoke a little bowl. So it helps with the creativity of the way that I say my voice. Because if you say your voice like in a really cool way, it could kind of, it sounds cooler than just reading news. Is my theory. Like if I have my voice sound creatively, then it like sounds cooler. So I just, sometimes it really helps. I find herbal is very helpful. Just please don't loot your dealer. Your marijuana dealer is your buddy. You may get really stoned one day, but then when you get stoned again, they know you're a thief. People find out who the jackers are. So don't be a jacker. Always want to get away with stuff. People have anger, but they don't know that how to get rid of it. And so fighting, punching, kicking, destroying, saying, let's take it out on pot shops. Because we smoke pot, and pot is just too expensive. And City Hall has armed guards. And they're going for the weakest groups. And the thing is, people start to look at this stage. They're like, how come they put like a mannequin dummy on the ambulance, the last 48? Wait, that's a mannequin dummy they just put on the ambulance, not a person. Do you believe everything you're told? What's the source? What's the information? Throw it all together. People, you got to keep looking at the world from as many different angles as you can, because you're going to find the angle that actually shows you the truth. You find the angle that shows you that that's not a body they put in the back of the ambulance. It's a half of a mannequin. that company also burnt down. You're like, what's going on here? What's the stuff being released to the people to get them riled up? Because it gets you. It's just simple. It's just the same kind of 99%. The police, not just the police, but the powers that be need to rile people up so they can take possible powers that be and incriminate them, and put them in the system and get them out of their way and keep the workers going. It's pretty simple. You know, just look at it. Just get all the activists together and then take out the trash. Fortunate timing. People, if you don't see the world as a stage and someone else is trying to make a stage for you beyond God, beyond existence, beyond nature, then, like, when humans try to make the stage for you, look for that seam, that hidden little line. When you say you're in the matrix, what is going on? And you manipulate the matrix to get the matrix to do what you need it to do? Or is the matrix just nothing? It doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, every single life matters. Every baby's life matters. Everybody's life matters. So we got to figure out where the money's going. You know, Soros takes them off their website. You know, I get it. Pot shops are easy. There's pot there. Hey, guys, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go get a lot of pot. People die. People have died. I thought one of the articles I had is about someone that was killed during one of these. Just an employee. Dude's just trying, like, yo, I'm working in a pot shop, everybody. Check it out. Live it up, live it up. Look at these big old fat nugs I'm next to. Now his family's mourning him. Who are you telling you to get all rowdy? People, know who's getting you rowdy and own up to your actions. Some people want to control your actions, put you over the edge, and you get all nutty. You can't think straight, so you act all insane. So don't act insane, people. Please do not burn or rob stuff. God's watching. You don't get that. God's watching. And then when you're like, hey, fucking the pretty gates, what's up? I did good. He's like, wait a second, bro. We got you on God video doing this. How are you going to make amends? You're in God video. What do you think your eyes are? Your brain. Check it out. So let's go. Next, Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Reading to you, Forbes.com, by Chris Roberts. Legal cannabis businesses are preparing to get robbed again. Will police protect marijuana? Still reeling from a spree of what appeared to be an organized burglaries a month ago, cannabis businesses across California are preparing to get robbed again over the July 4th holiday weekend. Over the weekend of May 29th to June 1st, thieves burglarized cannabis dispensaries, distribution centers, and cultivation in Los Angeles, Oakland, San Francisco, and other cities, relieving legal commercial cannabis operations of cash and product. In several documented instances, break-in crews paid repeated visits to dispensaries, breaking in night after night. In nearly every instance, police ostensibly busy squaring off against protesters and whose budgets directly benefit cannabis legalization were powerless to stop or even discourage the robberies. Without law enforcement protection, marijuana businesses hired extra armed security and spray-painted Second Amendment warnings on the plywood covering broken windows. Law enforcement's failure to protect cannabis businesses, even after they've been burglarized once, twice, or in the case of at least one San Francisco dispensary, BASA, four times, is shaking faith in marijuana legalization as a social experiment. Cannabis businesses pay possibly the highest taxes of any merchants in California, with state and local taxes, as well as cultivation and excise taxes and tax bill for legal weed in some states exceed 40%, a steep cost of doing business that some merchants say still doesn't earn legal cannabis any state protection. And now, rumors of a second wave of dispensary robberies this weekend and significant doubts that police will be able or willing to respond are leading cannabis entrepreneurs to prepare to defend their businesses by themselves. This, in turn, is casting doubt on the value and the long-term viability of legalization. Quoted, "It's everywhere. It's not just Oakland. They're talking about hitting all the dispensaries all over California, Vallejo, Sacramento, Los Angeles, the Bay Area," says Sean Richard, Majority Center of Burn on Hates, Cookies Brand Dispensary, San Francisco. "San Francisco police have arrested at least 10 people in connection with last month's robberies, according to his police spokesman. But there are no reports of any charges being filed or crimes being solved. It's not clear how law enforcement investigations were progressing in other cities. Oakland police did not respond to inquiries about last month's break-ins. Multiple law enforcement agencies patrol dispensaries in Los Angeles. This week, all San Francisco dispensaries received a warning email from the city's Office of Cannabis, which at least partially regulates commercial weed stores in the city. At least some were also visited by uniformed San Francisco police, who asked about security measures, including armed guards. Richard's dispensary was one of the few in the city to not be burglarized, in part because Richard, a longtime violence prevention advocate, heard through the grapevine that dispensaries, including his, were likely targets. For that reason, he was present at what appeared to be a would-be ripoff crew came by but left without attempting to break in. They definitely came by. They were on the prowl, looking to hit the store," Richard said via telephone on Wednesday, after receiving a similar tip this week. Richard passed the word on to police as well as his fellow cannabis business people, all of whom appear ready to take matters into their own hands. "You cannot rely solely on law enforcement to protect your business," said Richard, stating that the ethos of the moment, quote, "you would be a fool or an idiot to rely solely on police." What law enforcement plans to do with this intelligence, if anything, is unclear. Quote, "At this time, we cannot confirm credible threats that speak to the targeting of cannabis dispensaries," quoted Officer Robert Rucca, a San Francisco Police Department spokesman, wrote via email. "The police visits were routine," he said, "and kind of paid to all businesses," Rucca said. Quote, "We are proactively attaining and updating the emergency contact information for all businesses with storefronts that may be damaged and victimized during looting or violent protests." Rucca could not provide any information about last month's robberies, citing an ongoing investigation. Quote, "If you have information that looting will be done during the July 4th weekend, please pass us information so we may investigate further." This hands-off approach comes at possibly the worst time. Marijuana legalization is very famously struggling in large part because of the very large illicit market that government and law enforcement have been unable to tame. Illegal weed merchants who don't pay taxes have been able to thrive, in large part because their product is cheaper. For some marijuana merchants, the dynamic adds insult to injury, since California's marijuana legalization law specifically sets aside money for law enforcement, a political choice intended to convince law enforcement to support legalization, which didn't work. Many legalization advocates are calling to reform this law in the context of the George protests and calls to defund the police. In Portland, Oregon, the city council recently voted to stop sending cannabis tax revenue to the Portland Police Bureau. Similar discussions to do the same are underway in California, but in the meantime, even the threat of a second wave of break-ins is enough to spark a literal call to arms. But Bellman is one of the owners of a dispensary on California Street in San Francisco. Burglars broke down a security gate, broached the store, made off with the product, an incident captured on security video. Bellman heard nothing from police, but did get the same information as everyone else, spread via word of mouth among cannabis industry entrepreneurs, and is preparing to take security measures into his own hands. Quote, we've upped our security. We'll be all night. We'll be armed. He said, you don't have a choice. Woof! Hot topic. Smoke News Radio, your host, Jason Brodsky. That you can get this live or sometimes some within news. Oh, whew. Next, from the sfgate.com. Oh my God, that's a really, really long one. I'm going to do a shorter one. I can do like 11-minute one or 3-minute one. I mean, it's obviously the topic of the hour. Okay, this is from sanjosespotlight.com. San Jose, written by Adam Hutton on June 4th. Hapless thieves target San Jose dispensaries for break-in burglaries after curfew. A group of thieves broke into Harborside, a cannabis dispensary on North 10th Street in San Jose early Tuesday morning. Two San Jose dispensaries were burglarized early Tuesday morning by a group of thieves hoping for a big score. The latest crime spree in a trend of looters, burglaries, and robberies targeting dispensaries in the Bay Area and nationwide. The pattern emerged as major cities, including San Jose, enforced curfews to control protests against police brutality sparked by the killing of George Floyd, an unarmed black man, by Minneapolis police last month. Many of those crimes have resulted in big scores for the thieves, including groups that got away with at least $10,000 in product from one San Francisco dispensary and more than $100,000 from one dispensary in Boston. But one group of would-be thieves in San Jose came up empty-handed after a failed attempt, and a second group was able to get away with a small amount of product. The first group of approximately 20 people that kicked in the glass doors at Elemental Wellness on Timothy Drive in 12:07 a.m., 3.5 hours after citywide curfew enforced by San Jose Police Department, was driven off by a single security guard before they could steal anything. And a second group of about 10 that pried open the front doors of Harborside on North 10th Street between 12:30 and 12:45 a.m., got away with a few thousand dollars worth of edibles and cannabis concentrates. Sean Calirai, founder of Silicon Valley Cannabis Alliance, says the thieves took advantage of a protest in San Jose against police brutality a week after Floyd's death. Quote, there's always a criminal element present everywhere. Quote, in this case, criminals took advantage of peaceful protests over the death of George Floyd and the curfew in San Jose and other cities to go out and commit these crimes. Quote, thankfully, San Jose was really strong regulations that helped deter these kinds of actions and make it really hard to get away with. Elemental Wellness CEO Joe Lomanco said the criminals who targeted his store seemed to appear out of nowhere after a lookout signaled that a security guard left shortly after midnight. One of the would-be thieves smashed the glass to the street facing the doors on Timothy Drive and then kicked it in. The group, many of them carrying bags and pillowcases to fill with stolen goods, then rushed inside, only to be driven back a few seconds later by the guard who arrived before midnight for shift change. Quote, it's funny, only because no one got hurt and nothing was stolen. But we look at it now, and it's a sight to see 20 people rush in the front doors, then scurry out again 10 seconds later, chased by a security guard. Lomanco added that this is the first time Elemental has been targeted by burglars in the 10 years it has been in San Jose. Thieves use bolt cutters to open the refrigerator and steal cannabis concentrates and edibles from Harborside in San Jose early Tuesday morning. Pedro Fonseca, general manager of Harborside's 5 dispensaries, said his stores had been targeted before, but never such a large group. Quote, criminals assume that dispensaries are just filled with cash and product, but in San Jose, regulations are very strict, and we follow them to the letter, so everything is under lock and key in the back, not accessible from the sales floor, so we were very well protected. Quotes, Francesca said the thieves, who got away with a few thousand dollars of product, were taking advantage of the protests surrounding the killing of Floyd. Floyd was killed on May 25th, by a Minneapolis police officer who was seen in a video pressing his knee into his back for nearly 9 minutes, 8:46, 8:46, I think, something like that. Oh my God, crazy stuff. The break-in to Elemental Wellness and Harborside are latest in a string of crimes targeting cannabis dispensaries in the Bay Area and nationwide since protests against police brutality erupted across the country in response to the video, multiple videos. While police corralled peaceful protesters and enforced curfews over the weekend, several stores in the East Bay and San Francisco were also vandalized, looted, or robbed. In Oakland, the owner of Magnolia Wellness said his Facebook post on the store had been robbed by an armed group and lost nearly everything. Eco Cannabis, an Oakland dispensary licensed through the Equity Program to benefit communities that were disproportionately harmed by the prohibition, Blum and Harborside's Oakland location was also targeted by thieves over the weekend. Berkeley Side reports that two of the city's dispensaries, Cannabis Buyers Club Berkeley and Farmerside Berkeley, were hit by thieves multiple times on Saturday and Sunday. Approximately 10 dispensaries in San Francisco were also targeted, including Dutchman's Flat and Dog Patch, Dr. Green Thumb and Mission District, and Mo Green's on Market Street. Huron 4 reports that California Street Cannabis was robbed and lost at least $10,000 worth of product. After two of its Los Angeles stores were looted over the weekend, the national chain MedMen temporarily closed all of its stores, including its San Jose store. These crimes are also part of a nationwide trend of criminals taking aim at dispensaries with stores in Cleveland and Chicago getting hit. Man. Interesting world, people. What are you doing out here? You're just taking advantage, making things happen. Beautiful things happen in the world. So realize that some groups want to make it difficult for others because they got nothing better to do. 20 people! 20 people! Oh my God, that's scary. They just all were told they were going to get pot. They all showed up with bags. You're going to get pot. You're going to get pot. Let's all go. I mean, that's the thing. It's people are like, what do they get out of it? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? So it's actually, there is like, you know, people are, it's actually kind of safe world out there. People are like, well, what's in it for me? You know, what am I going to get out of it? You know, what's really, you know, the point? So, but SF Weekly, more than half SF dispensaries targeted by burglaries, like East Bay Express, Protecting Pot by Dan Mitchell. You know, notion gun-toting weed merchants didn't go over well. Commission rejected it. Yeah. Oh, right here. Let's jump into this one. We still got a few minutes left. Okay. From East Bay Express, Protecting Pot by Dan Mitchell. Last week, the Oakland Cannabis Regulatory Commission and several dispensary owners kicked around ideas for improving security. One of those ideas allowing dispensary owners and employees to pack heat. Guns. The notion of gun-toting weed merchants didn't go over well, and the commission rejected it. Most of the Zoom meeting was devoted to what recommendations the commission should make to the city of Oakland to deal with the repercussions of the spate of robberies and lootings of cannabis dispensaries in Oakland and to some degree elsewhere in the Bay Area during the recent weekend of protests and riots on May 30th and 31st. In the end, the commission decided to ask Oakland to disperse state funds earmarked for the city's cannabis equity program immediately rather than over time, to emphasize grants over loans and to seek ways to improve Oakland's police department's handling of the crime spree. All the participants agreed the OPD was woefully lacking in this area even before these incidents. It was the police response that led to the calls for arming cannabis operators. During the open forum before the meeting began, two cannabis entrepreneurs suggested that dispensaries operators be issued concealed carry gun permits. One of them, cultivator Brent Bell of Plant Pantry, noted that while the Denver Police Department has like 16 officers just assigned to cannabis, the OPD has only one. He suggested that concealed carry licenses would help dispensary operators and other cannabis businesses protect themselves. Just having the program would be a deterrent to robbers and thieves. Cannabis Commissioner Debbie Goldsberry, who is a Magnolia Wellness dispensary, got essentially destroyed over the two nights of looting and burglary, said, arming dispensary personnel goes too far, in my opinion. We can't kill for cannabis. Echoes her sentiments was Commissioner Lenise Martin, co-founder of the Hood Incubator. I came to this position to protect Black lives, she said. It would be wrong, she added, to kill a human to save a building. That's not going to be the solution. The bigger and more serious issue was money. The city is set to receive $6.5 million in state equity grants. The commission is asking the city council to disperse the money as quickly as possible, to issue as much as possible in the form of grants rather than loans. The council was expected to take up the measure on Tuesday as the East Bay Express was going to reprint. The measure would cap grants at $75,000 and loans at $500,000. It would also fast-track licensing for the city's equity program, which is aimed at assisting minority cannabis entrepreneurs. The program, meant to address the inequity of cannabis prohibition, has been stymied by bureaucracy. Under the measure, any applicant who already meets the income and residency criteria receives an equity license, which makes the business eligible for equity financing for 2 years, even if the business no longer qualifies according to the income and residency requirements. The commission also voted to support declaring a state of emergency in the city to lift some of the city's licensing regulations on cannabis businesses and provide resources for dealing with the fallout from the rioting and looting, and to call for an investigation into the police response to the looting of cannabis businesses and its overall approach to protecting them. "There's no way I can pull out of this without help from the city," says Ron Leggett, whose equity business was being incubated at Mongolia, who was preparing to launch just a week after the shop was hit. Quote, "We have no time to waste." Leggett and a chorus of other attendees and commissioners decried the OPD's response to the weekend of lootings. The issues with the OPD, the Oakland Police Department, predate these incidents, said Will Brophy, head of operations for Nabis, a cannabis distributor and equity incubator. Robberies and burglaries of cannabis operations amount to a special type of crime that, Brophy said, demands a special kind of response. Dispensary operators claim that over more than 48 hours of shops and other businesses being hit, the cops never contacted any owners to warn them that theirs might be next. The OPD did not respond to the request for comment. This business is, Brophy said, objectively underwhelming. All right, guys, this is Smoke News Radio. Jason Rutsch, your host. Wow, you guys are really amazing. And, just be good out there. God's watching. Remember that all the time. Oh. Try it. It's on this one. Jason Rutsch, Smoke News Radio, and here's Jack Johnson.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight.